Welcome to this episode of Dental Soundbites. Here's your host, Dr. Bill Griffin.
Thanks, Jamie. I'm excited about this, our first Dental Soundbites podcast of 2025, featuring Dr. Robert Zimmerman. In addition to his private practice career in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, which spanned 47 years, Dr. Zimmerman has been heavily involved in treating the dentally underserved, both in his locality and also internationally. He graduated from Temple University School of Dentistry in 1977, and within that first year of practice, he took the first of his 60 international dental mission trips, serving in 11 countries on five continents. Then in 1999, Dr. Zimmerman was involved in starting a dental clinic in his hometown, enabling local dentists to join together in treatment of the dentally needy in his community. I will let Dr. Zimmerman fill you in on some of the details regarding how the Lord has been inspiring him to serve during his long dental career. Well, Dr. Zimmerman, thank you for joining me on this episode of Dental Soundbites.
Well, thanks for the invitation. I feel rather honored to be asked because I'm just a regular dentist in a small town. So it's a thrill for me to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Now, you recently retired from almost five decades of private practice. Perhaps you can begin with a quick overview of your career. How did you first become involved in dentistry, and what kept you drilling and filling for all these years?
It started my freshman year in college. I went to college as a math major, only because I was really good in math, not really knowing what I wanted to do with it. And over spring break of my freshman year, I talked to an uncle who was a dentist and an uncle who was a physician, and my parents were both music educators. And I went back to college, made an appointment with my advisor who was a math prof, and I said, you know, I'm not sure what I want to do with this math thing, but I don't want to sit at a desk all day. So I'm thinking about picking up some education courses so I can teach math, or switching my major to chemistry, see if I get into dental school. And he literally pushed back his chair, he pulled out a drawer, he propped his feet on the drawer, took a deep breath and said, Bob, teaching math is a lousy living, switch your major to chemistry. So here I am. And from there, after I graduated, my wife and I were married. We went to Temple University. She's a German teacher. She couldn't get a job teaching German, so we wound up in this children's home that was Presbyterian Children's Home, church-related. We had a chaplain. We were parents to middle school boys who were placed there because of abuse and neglect by their parents. So they were placed by the court, but it was, you know, not their fault. And I got close to the chaplain. I had actually taught to adjudicated delinquent boys in Grove City while I was going to college there. And my second year, he said, Bob, do you want to teach senior high girls? Because I can't relate to them. And I said, no, because I couldn't relate to him when I was in senior high. The last thing I want to do is try and teach him Sunday school. But I said yes, and within a month or two, they were looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it. They were making me, you know, cookies and brownies and hot chocolate, and that was a real blessing. And then God opened an amazing door by slamming shut another one. The fellow who was my dentist when I was a child was retiring. He got in touch with my dad, who got in touch with me, and I had this practice to take over like July 1 of 77. But in May, I failed a section of the Northeast Regional Boards. And I was crushed because I was a better student. It wasn't supposed to happen. Decay was deeper than I thought. I had a little pulp exposure, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, I wound up failing. And in June, the chaplain came down. And I don't even know how he knew about CMDA or CMA as it was then, Medical Group Missions, which is what the mission organization was back then. But he came down and said, hey, there's this mission trip to the Dominican Republic, this Christian group, Medical Group Missions, and they need a dentist. And do you want to go? And I said, well, I can't. I don't have a license. He said, well, yeah, but you can get a license in Dominican Republic if you have a U.S. diploma. I said, well, I have one of those. So the first license I ever had was in Dominican Republic, and I went down there for about a 10-day excursion. You know, I had my 30 extractions from dental school, and I did that like the first day down there.
Wow.
And I got hooked on missions, but it was more an ego thing then, because people were getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to walk to see me and stand in line. And it was a gradual thing into the 80s. But I got hooked on Mission. My wife was sweet enough to let me keep going every year. And that's really how I got into that. Then I started my dental practice. And you don't know what dentistry is really going to be like, because you really didn't learn a lot about the business stuff. But I just fell in love with all of it. I just loved what I could do for people. I loved getting people out of pain. I loved taking frightened children and getting them through things. Yeah, I love my career. But a lot of it had to do with gradually getting a deeper and deeper relationship to Christ and bringing that in to the office, you know, locally.
Well, it's nice to hear about how as your dental skills grew and your patient interaction skills grew, there was also this growing desire to make Christ a part of those conversations with patients.
Yeah, and actually, it was that very first trip, the physicians that were on that group said, hey, you need to belong to a Christian Medical Association, and gave me all these reasons. So I joined in the fall of 77 is when I first joined. Mm. And just the communications. Now, I'm an old fart. Can I say fart on this interview?
Rusty said yes.
Okay. So I remember getting a letter or an email or something from CMDA that I had to switch from my cassette tapes to CDs. And I was like, you know, one of the two last people still getting the cassette tapes. So we switched to CDs. So I had to borrow my wife's car every now and then. So I had a CD player. And then, you know I know I can easily do it on my phone, but it's work, because I used to just leave them in there and it would pick up where it left off. And yeah, but just that and the journal, it's just been a huge blessing and a help to me in my growth, wrestling with questions that I normally wouldn't wrestle with.
Understood. Well, I appreciate you taking that step to actually becoming a member of CMDA. That means a lot that you and others have stepped forward and supported us in various ways, not just becoming a part of the ministry that goes on, but actually a part of that financial base as well. Now, the first time I heard of you and your practice was a few years back when you contacted us at CMDA and requested from us items for which you and your dental team could pray. I thought that was a wonderful way for you to support CMDA. Tell us about your practice's prayer ministry, how it began and how it worked.
Somewhere in the early 90s, we started meeting before we started in the morning, like 10 or 15 minutes before we see patients. And there would occasionally be a prayer request, you know, for somebody to pray for themselves or a friend or a patient who had expressed a concern. And that evolved into, at some point, probably in the mid to late 90s, we took the time every week to pray for one staff member. And we would ask them what specifically they wanted prayed for. And then we would also have a list of about 40 or 50 people or entities. We treat missionaries for free, which is another story I'll get into when we talk about other things. And so every patient of ours that was a missionary, we would pray for them for a week. And we try and correspond with them. You know, what would you like us to, this is the week we're praying for you, what would you like prayed for? Mm-hmm. But also for CMDA, for all the churches that the staff attended, for all the churches that the pastor was our patient, and there was a number of those, for other entities like Salvation Army or Christian Medical Dental. Yeah, so it was like 40 or 50 missionaries, churches, pastors, or other organizations that we would pray for a week at a time. CMDA would be prayed for maybe once a year, whereas the staff would be prayed for like three or four times a year.
And I can see how, as you would intercede for other organizations, that would help you to realize that your purpose in the office was greater than just dentistry, but you shared a lot of larger purposes with these other groups that you were praying for.
Yeah, and it also, you interviewed a fellow from Texas a little while back, and he mentioned about interviewing new employees, how you would adjust them in or feel them out or whatever that expression was. And when I would have a second interview for somebody who I was going to offer a job, I'd let them know that this doesn't have anything to do with you. It just has to do with me, that I like to include my faith in my entire life, including the office. And I want you to know the environment you're coming into, not that it affects you, not that you have to be Christian or anything else, but, you know, here, we're going to play Christian music about half of the time. There's a couple Christian scriptures on the wall here or there. There's a cross here, and consultation has all these memories from mission trips on the shelves. And in the morning when we meet, we're going to close with a prayer. And it's going to include you know, entities that we pray for, but it's also going to include prayer requests from patients or staff. And I want you to feel comfortable in that environment, and you don't have to stay for the prayer. Now, I've never had anybody leave for the prayer, mm-hmm. but I just let them know, you need to be there for the team meeting, but when it comes time to pray, if you're not comfortable, it's okay. Well, you learn a lot about somebody just in their reaction to that. And I wasn't doing it to feel them out, because if they weren't a Christian, it was fine. It really didn't bother me if they weren't a Christian. In fact, it was a witness to them. But I never had anybody say, you know, no, I'm not going to be here. I mean, they were all there. And before long, they were all asking for prayer requests. So.
Yeah, I agree with your approach 100%. I did the same thing in my office. I think the dentist from Texas you're referring to is Dr. Kevin Adottle, who recognizes that potential employees deserve to know what type of office they're considering joining, what the office philosophy is, what the environment is. And so you're giving them appropriate, necessary information in order for you and for them to make a good decision regarding whether it's a good fit or not.
And I think
that's the right way to go about it. I like what you said about playing Christian music about half the time. And when I was practicing, we also played Christian music some of the time, but I also enjoyed Motown and some of the easy listening, and we would change it every day. Yeah. I drew the line at gangster rap, but almost everything else was game at one time or another. Now, over the years, Bob, you have been involved in a lot of short-term mission trips. How did you first become involved in providing international treatment?
Well, to be honest with you, that goes back to sweet dentist Sue Magenity from Washington State. In 1982, she and I were pulling teeth under a tree in Dominican Republic. And in the middle of the afternoon, just out of the blue, she turns to me and says, Bob, do you treat missionaries for free? And I said, no, I don't even think I have any patients that are missionaries. And that was it. I mean, it was a 30-second conversation. But a year and a half or 2 years later, I'm doing this, intake health questionnaire interview, and the guy is from Zimbabwe. I said, oh, you're here from Zimbabwe. What are you doing in Zimbabwe? Oh, I'm a missionary with, African Inland Missions or somebody. That conversation just, rang a bell in my head. And I said, you know what? You're here for 9 months or a year. We're going to treat you and your family now. We're going to treat you halfway through. We'll treat you before you go back, make sure you're in good shape, and it's not going to cost you anything. It was very appreciative. And he had three brothers that were missionaries out of the place. So all of a sudden, I have four of these guys and their families. And then word of mouth and, and we were also treating like the Young Life leader for free for the county and other small churches, some pastors from small churches. I got an awful lot of blessing out of treating a lot of people for nothing. And then eventually, those missionaries started asking me to come to their mission station where health care was provided, but there was no dental care. Mm-hmm. And the first time I did that was actually in Ecuador in 1990. Had nothing to do with that. It was a physician, a mission physician in Ecuador full-time, and he had filled in on an MGM that I was with him on and asked me to come back to teach an Ecuadorian dentist some, other technologies. Mm-hmm. But then in 97, I went to, through Africa Inland Missions, I went to their mission conference. I worked on the missionaries while they were all getting together for this, 4 days of R&R and counseling and meetings. And then it was held at an African seminary. So then I worked on the seminary students and their families. And then usually the last day I'd have time for some local population. But that was a huge blessing. In fact, the first trip, it was just a 12-year-old son and myself, a different son than the one that I went to Ecuador with. But anyhow, I got hooked. I went back in 2000. I went back in 2003. And then other people with African Inland Missions, I started going to their mission stations. And I've been back there 16 times. I was just there in August, and I'm going back next August. And the head of International Justice Mission that rescues people out of sex trafficking, mm-hmm. the leader in Calcutta was visiting his roommate in Hagerstown, Maryland, just a short distance from me. Mm-hmm. And I was treating his college roommate for free. So he said, hey, this guy might treat you and your family for nothing. So I saw them. And his last visit there, my hygienist said, hey, Dr. Bob goes places and does dentistry. Do you need any in Calcutta? So just through that connection, I got to go to Calcutta twice working on young girls rescued out of sex trafficking, wow. some with single-digit ages. Mm. And that was the most stressful trips yet the most rewarding trips I've ever taken, just having the privilege of ministering to these young girls.
Yes.
And that's, again, I got to Romania through patients that were doing some mission work in Romania. Yeah, I tell people, God opened a lot of doors for me, but most of them were trapdoors. I just fell into stuff, like, you know, failing my licensing exam. I mean, that's because we were going to do missions someday. Before we were married, we talked about missions. But, yeah, it was someday. After the debts were paid, after the kids were in school, after. But, you know, I got thrust into it because I needed something to do and just got hooked on it. Had the privilege early on when we were mostly doing extractions of working with actually James Scribner, who was in charge of the Navy's oral surgery residence at Norfolk. I got to work a week with him. Mm-hmm. I got to work with Jim Haywood, retired chairman of oral surgery, University of Michigan, who wrote textbooks. Spent a week with him in Honduras once and a week with him in Ecuador once and just learned a lot about exodontia. But a lot about life, too. They were good, mature, Christian men. Jim Haywood was the grandfatherly educator who, if you asked him a question, he just kept giving you questions until you answered your own question.
That's great. I love how it was the Lord's providence that introduced you to your first trip, your first year in practice. And then he's also created blessings that you never knew were in store when you signed up to go on a trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, at some point in your career, after joining others on their international trips, you decided to begin leading your own dental mission trips. What caused you to transition to leading trips on your own?
Well, really, like I said, it was missionaries inviting me to their mission stations. And by that point, I'd been on enough mission trips that I had this whole resource of hygienists and dentists and assistants. So I would arrange with African Land Missions or International Justice Mission or Eastern European Aid and say, hey, this is where I'm thinking about going. This is what I'm thinking about doing. This is the timeline. This is roughly what I think it'll cost. And I just send an email out to a bunch of people and people would respond. Probably my largest team I led was, I think, 17. And the smallest was, well, two. A lot of the early trips to someplace was just me and one of my kids. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I wound up through Ron Lamb. I'm sure you know Ron Lamb.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I have 10 portable dental units from him. Mm. I bought the last two he had just a couple years ago. He said, I only got two left. They're the ones I used to use for demo. I said, well, I'll take them for spare parts if nothing else.
Wonderful.
And he was such a great resource on materials and how to do things. And, so I give him a lot of credit for being able to run a project and get that organized. And my wife, I mean, she helped me organize trips that she didn't even go on. I've been on 60. She's probably been on 25. And God bless her. She let me go for 2 weeks at a time and leave her with five kids multiple times. And now she enjoys being the clinic manager. She enjoys being my boss when we go on a trip because she's the one that's taking care of traffic flow and yeah, she knows I get upset if my chair is not constantly full, but she does a great job.
Oh, that's wonderful. My wife, Linda, and your wife is Linda also.
Yeah.
She has accompanied me on less than half of my trips, but they have been the best ones. It's great when you can share that bond in service internationally. It creates an exhaustion, but a joyful exhaustion.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, our first opportunity to meet face-to-face was at the Great Commission Dental Conference back in October in Irving, Texas. Tell me, how was your experience at the conference?
Actually, it was really great. I mean, I wasn't sure what exactly to expect, but it was a wonderful time of worship. You know, I thought, I did 60 mission trips. I wonder if anybody else did that. Well, yeah, there's a number of people that have done more than that. And you know, the most impressive people are ones who did it as a career. You can tolerate anything for 2 weeks, but if you're out there living it, that's amazing. And how to incorporate it into your practice in better ways. And probably the most exciting part were dental students and young dentists. I wish I had gone to a dental conference like that when I was 25 or 30 years old, just to pick up all the insight that is there from people that have already done it, and you know, better ways to sterilize and better ways to, you know, better portable dental chairs and just lots of resources that were there, and just able to listen to other people's stories and pick other people's brains. And the fellowship, I mean, just good times of worship.
It really was tremendous. I had high expectations for the conference, and it exceeded my expectations. And although there was great information available from so many, as you mentioned, that have had great long careers in international and domestically sharing the gospel through dentistry, I really think that that atmosphere of encouragement, that commonality that we have in seeking to see how the Lord can use dentistry for the sake of the gospel, that was really the unifying factor that made it such an exuberant event.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
And we're hoping to do it again. The dates for 2025 have been set at September 12th and 13th, and we hope you and many listening can join us then.
Well, actually, I was just communicating with the folks in Africa about a return next year, and they wanted me to go in September. And I said, well, how about the last week in August and the first week in September? Because there's really some place I want to be on the 12th and 13th.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. So now we're coming back on the 5th, I think. So we have time to recover in between there.
Well, great. Now, you and I have both had the opportunity to see how missionary dentistry can be a wonderful platform for the gospel, how the Lord can draw people to himself through the international care that we provide. But how about back home in your practice? How did you go about bringing Christ into your practice back home? And you've already shared some of those ways, but are there others you can share with our audience?
When I retired, the most emotional thank yous or, you know, retirement communications I got, either orally or written or in the mail or presents, weren't from big implant cases, weren't for bringing Crown and Bridge cases. They were from single welfare moms that I just made a set of dentures for, or people that I saw, you know, Sunday evening because they were in a lot of pain, or just people whose lives I touched in ways other than making a profit. You know, I'd say the things I did for free have brought me more joy than the things that I, you know, did. And sometimes I would forget. In fact, one time I got this really glowing thank you letter from a lady, and I opened it up and I walked out to the front desk. I said, hey, this is like really over the top grateful. Did I do something special for this lady? And they just looked like it at me like, you know, what are you talking about? And I said, no, really, what did I do? And they said, well, you did $3,000 worth of work for her, and you charged her $25 a month for 6 months. Yeah, you did something significant for her. Well, I was so pleased that I didn't know that. I didn't know that when she came in. She wasn't treated different than anybody else. And actually, I kept that in my briefcase for a couple of months. And then I realized, oh, come on, you're getting vain. You got to throw this away and stop thinking that you're a good guy. You were just blessed. And those are the things that blessed me most were the things that I did for people. But also, you know, the longer I practiced, the more I was open to God's direction. So I had the joy of at least several times a month recognizing somebody's biggest problem was not their teeth. And it may have been a cancer diagnosis or the death of a spouse or a child fighting cancer or whatever. And I would tell my assistant, I'll walk them to the front desk. And fortunately, between all of the operatories in the front desk was a consultation room. And they knew that I wasn't going to be back for a while, and they'd have to deal with it because I'm going to take them into consult and just hold their hands and pray with them for a little bit. And I'd say, let's just stop in here a second, and I'd introduce it. You know, you got a lot going on here. Would you like to pray? And I never had anybody say no. And it always felt like a privilege. It always felt like a privilege to be able to hold somebody's hands and try and bring Christ closer to them. And praying specifically that they would bump into him in ways that they know that only could come from God and give them that reassurance. Those are the people that were most emotional, you know, the time you took the time to sit down with me and pray with me. And sometimes it would happen chairside, particularly a couple of my hygienists would let me know when I came in with a note that, you know, pray before you leave, or, you know, just lost her husband, or, and I just do it, you know, there, just, you know, holding their hands. And that's been a real joy and blessing. My most frequent prayer when I'm talking to my adult kids with questions, or, you know, patients that I'm praying with, is in my head, I'm just reciting, give me the right words, give me the right words, give me the right words. And, you know, we're told that he will give us the right words when we need them. And I've found that to be the case. You know, one of the Christian pillars in our community was in my office. And within the previous year, he had lost an adult daughter and an adult son. The daughter left a husband and I think five kids. And he had just been done, not just at that point, he was coming to see me. He was well along in his terminal cancer. Mm. I walked into the consult room, and as soon as we got into the consultation room and sat down, he shared that his faith was being shaken. He just felt more distant and he was having doubts. And this is the last person in the community you would have expected it from. And I have no idea what I said. I have no idea how he responded. I just know that maybe a month or so after he died, his wife came in as a patient, and she told me how much that moment meant to him as he was dealing with the loss of two children and his own end of life. And I give God credit for that. Yes. You know, let me say this. This is probably the most important thing I'm going to say. There's no greater joy in life than when you know you're right where God wants you at that moment, and you're doing right what he wants you to do. And I wished I lived there. I don't, but I get to visit every now and then. And that is such a privilege, just to be in that place where you know you are right in the middle of his will.
Very well put. I've heard it said, learn dentistry's true worth by giving it away. And
yeah,
opportunities
like that.
Are priceless.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Bob, it's become clear during our time together that your ultimate goal throughout your career was not wrapped up in the dentistry you provided, but in how the Lord could use your skills to encourage and point others to Christ. Thank you for sharing with our listeners how you've answered his call over many years of faithful service.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for the invitation. And I'm hoping I've inspired somebody else to incorporate Christ more into their practice and into their life.
Amen.
Amen.
As I mentioned in today's podcast, Dr. Zimmerman and I had the privilege of meeting at last year's Great Commission Dental Conference. As I remember, we met in the lunch line and shared an enjoyable Mexican meal together on Saturday. Bob and I were two of over 200 attendees at our first ever dental missions conference, and we're praying for even more attendees in 2025. If you're thinking of joining us, the dates will be September 12th and 13th. And once more, we will be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Also, if you're interested in the possibility of speaking at this year's event, you have until January 31st to submit your session proposal. Just go to cmda.org/GCDC, and we'll be happy to consider you for a part in our second annual Great Commission Dental Conference. That link once more is cmda.org/GCDC. There's another CMDA event coming up soon that you won't want to miss, and that's our national convention in St. Charles, Missouri, from May 1st through the 4th. We've planned a dental reception for Friday evening and a 3-session dental track for Saturday to include presentations by Dr. Valerie Preston on dental mission trips, Dr. Brad Parrott on biomimetic dentistry, and Dr. Andre Mickle on endodontic treatment. Last year's convention included the largest dental contingent we have ever had, and our prayer is that this year's dental gathering will be even bigger. So join us and help make it happen. Just go to cmda.org/natcon to learn more. In speaking with Dr. Zimmerman today and how he has served the Lord both locally and internationally, I'm reminded of something that Luke, the beloved physician, wrote in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Whether the dental care you provide is on the home front, halfway around the world, or somewhere in between, may the power of the Holy Spirit enable you to be a faithful witness in proclaiming Jesus Christ to the world through dentistry in 2025. Until next time, God bless.
Thanks for listening to Dental Soundbites. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email dental@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.